good morning and welcome. You join me and Maundy Monday Kitten utterly buggering up my sofa. Don't matter, it only cost 50 quid from a charity shop 10 years ago. Not that bothered. Yeah, right, it. Sharpen those claws. Hope you catch Cecil on the nipple, said the old sausage. Anyway, week commencing the 8th of October. Welcome to the Paul Fax Dear Diary podcast, sorry. Should have put that in. Welcome to the week commencing the 8th of October. If you remember last week, Mummy had, well, I'd been put on a diet and I tried a Bovril beef and bicarb diet, and it made my sweat go all chunky and brown. So I took a sample to the doctors, but I had to keep it cool, and it solidified and looked like beef dripping, and Mum was mean to me, so I let her think that it was beef dripping. She put some on some slices of toast, and then she ate them. And then after she'd eaten them, I told her that she'd just eaten my solidified man boob juice. And then the 8th of October is what commences after that. Let's begin the reading, Cecil, if you would. 8th of October? We're still in hospital after Mum's 16-hour vomit-a-thon. I've never seen so much sick. After a while, it was just bile and phlegm coming up. The doctors have a stable now and she's stopped being sick, but we're not allowed to see her, or I'm not allowed to see her anyway, in case it induces more vomiting. I haven't been able to keep up my Bovril diet, so yet again, I'm going to have to give this one up. I asked Tony if he knew of any good diets, and he said he did know of one. It was an ancient and mythological one. One said would remove all fat from the body whomever accomplished it. It's more of a quest rather than a diet, a series of tasks that, if completed, will grant the hero a physique like that of a Roman emperor. Whatever that is, don't know what that means really. It said that there are 7 tasks in total, each requiring a great deal of nerves, intelligence, courage and determination to accomplish. Tony's given me the sacred text of Thilquelelatron, which apparently tells of these 7 tasks. Not that I can read them all because they're all in Latin, but Tony's been reading them to me because apparently he speaks Latin. He says these are the 7 quests. The Horn of Hattust Halat Jaquilaquest. The Bile of Balmamentos. The Mist in the Valley of the Unthinkable, the Pipes of Peace, the Ballad of the Unwise Ones, the Liquor of Lamagratotene, and the Beast of Morcanus Pitmendus. I don't know what each involve, and I think it's all probably gibberish, but Tony says he's going to help me. He can only reveal one at a time, which apparently will make for a much more intriguing and dynamic quest. I'd pronounce it dynamic, but Tony insists it's pronounced dynamic. Don't know, it better be dynamic or dynamic. As well. 9th of October. Tony had to go see his wife's gynaecologist this morning, so we couldn't start the diet. Don't know why he had to go, but he did. I was bored, so I wrote this email to Eugene. Buggered it, first line. Always get a bit too self-conscious reading these, don't know why. Try again. Sire Eugene of Bidderton, how finds these... I'm sorry.
Come on, Paul.
Doing my best. Supposed to be read in a ye olde Shakespearean type world language, Cecil, just in case you're curious about that.
I know full well I helped you write it.
Ooh. And a yarn and we're off. Sire Eugene of Bidderton, oh, I've gone Cornish for some reason, if that's the right accent. How finds you this email upon this fair morn?
Doesn't say this twice.
Picking on me. I'm going to zoom in, that might help me. Oh no, that didn't help me, I went too zoomed in.
Come on, Polly, you were doing so well with this.
Sire Eugene of Biddeton, how finds you this email upon the fair morn? Save, 'tis not morn. Nay, and to call it so would be pure folly, for 'tis hours long afternoon. Hath thou spake to the lark? And lo, hath thou birdsong twittered in thine ear about thine happenings with their fair and mild noble son of Edmunds? Forsooth, he hath travelled hither and thither on a steed of metal and magic, propelled as if the foaming lips of Cerberus were upon his very bottom, crinkly though it may be. His arrival which wath both swift as a lark and timely as the apple blossom upon the cheek of a hog was foretold by Grandmaster Hamstring, Lord of the Lower Leg. Lord Noel hath requested an audience with 22 forlorn and madcap peasants. Their life story should be so based. One of thine simple folk should then be singled out to use the powers to decide.
Shut up! I'm Sir Noel Edmunds. Not the one from TV, just in case you try and sue me. I am just a Noel Edmunds. This prattling fool has gone on for too long. I'm here to look for more morons to help me with those damn boxes on my TV programme. No, not Sir Edmunds' deal or no deal. No, that's so passé. No, it's the TV show where the contestants are blindfolded and then 22 other people pass some kind of hedge under their genitals. And then they have to guess, is the hedge box hedge or some kind of elm or gorse? You may get scratched from the prickly varieties, but it's fine. If you guessed 10 box on, then I'll shave a bit of my beard off and you can permanently glue it under your eyelid for hilarious eye fun. We need more contestants. Please apply via Post-it Goat. While I'm here, I'm not TV's Noel Edmunds, I'm just Sir Noel Edmunds, a different Noel Edmunds. I shall tell you about some of my new TV programmes that I have in my giant hairy and witty mind. But I'm not Noel Edmunds, don't sue me. Patrick Moore's Giant Knee. Remember kids' TV show Funhouse? It was a real crazy show where anything could go. But Pat Sharp had a big falling out with the twins Melanie and Martina. He suggested that Martina could have her arms and legs cut off and then just walk around, well, stump around and be called the human bean. Morning, Monday kitten.
Shut up, Cecil, you're pretending to be Sir Noel Edmunds. Mm-hmm. Oh, buzzing.
Anyway, so now I can buy the set of Funhouse, redress it like Patrick Moore's legs, and make a very, very adult version of Funhouse. Very adult. How about another TV programme? Noel Edmunds helps the helpless. Ever the do-gooder, this exciting adventure sees me, not me, TV's Noel Edmunds, travel to some of the world's most worst places where crime, war, famine, or Germans are most rife. He will go and make passionate pleas to the camera, highlighting the suffering of these poor individuals, showing the very worst humanity has to offer. I then dip these people in gunge, throw a confetti at them, and make them do some somewhat humiliating challenges. Then I'll give them a glass of water and a Noel Edmunds sticker pack. Or another TV programme is Pass It On, this new quiz show which marries good old-fashioned general knowledge with deadly, deadly diseases. There's one contestant to start with, and they have to answer 10 incredibly easy, then incredibly hard, general knowledge questions. If you don't get all 10 correct, they're infected with a deadly, deadly disease. For example, smallpox. Then they have to go into the general populace and pass it on. If they infect up to 20 people in 5 minutes, they'll all get the cure. Fail, and they shall languish in pain and public death. Maybe one for the Russia. Don't know. Right, I have been and remain Noel the Beard Edmonds. Kiss me, I'm highly sexual.
And lo, hath good Sir Noel Edmonds spake thee upon the matters most egregious. Thine is now the knowledge, make of it what you will, and may the grace of my many chins go with thee for ever and ever. Amen. And after all that effort, Eugene replied with, huh? Useless brummy idiot.
10th of October.
And hang on, Cecil, you used to shout at me for putting extra syllables in words.
Yeah, I thought I'd try it. Stupid.
10th of October.
Hey, Paul, I'm doing that.
Sorry.
10th of October.
Tony came round this morning and told me about the first part of my diet quest. The Horn of Hatteduschuslaschachus, or summit. Apparently there's a horn of some kind of mystical animal located within a cave on a beach not far from here. Tony says we're going to go tomorrow at low tide, and I've got to bring an offering to the monks who guard it. It's guarded by monks for some reason. If I'm honest, I don't believe a word of what he's saying, but if he gets me at the house on a free bus trip up to the beach, then it's got to be a bonus, hasn't it? Mum says, Monday, Monday kitten, what are you doing? Looks like he's... Oh, yeah, there we go. He's knocked over a can of Carling. Well done. Oh, now he escapes, flashing his anus at me. Anyway, Mum can't bear to be in the same room as me at the moment without retching. That's what she gets for eating my solidified tit liquid. It's quite nice, actually, if I'm honest. It does just taste a bit like Bovril. Maybe that's where Marmite comes from. What's wrong with eating solidified big boy boob juice? It's quite nice. I've had a few licks myself. Anyway, Tony didn't say what kind of offering I needed to bring, so I've got £5 in my wallet, and I've packed my Annabelle the Girl NatWest piggy bank from the 80s. I got it when I saved up to £218 with the NatWest. Though, to be fair, it was all Mum's money. She just put the account in my name so that we could get the piggy banks. She wasn't happy when I took all the money out to buy an Amstrad CPC 464 computer. She still gets angry if I bring that up. Just because she was saving up for some false teeth. She's such an angry woman. She just can't let go of past traumas. You know, as soon as you bring it up, she gets well for arse. Really sworn then. But I didn't. Pulled it back.
Yes, Paul used to say that about his penis all the time when he was just before puberty.
Hey, shut up, Cecil.
Disgusting. Just walk in the room and say, Mother, Father, look, I've pulled it back. Exposing the tip of his genitals.
Cecil, do a shut up.
Well,
now, this is a test, and I've been to Bucharest, but I never got depressed because I saw a little breast.
Paul.
Test. Cecil.
Yes.
Test.
It's fine. It's copyright, don't
test,
say that.
Test, Cecil.
Yes, we're good to go. Carry on your reading.
11th of October. Sorry, it's a different day now. I'm starting recording again. 11th of October. I've been on a nudist beach. Though, while that sounds like the most erotic thing to ever happen to me in 10 years, it really wasn't. There was one very old naked man who emerged from the sea, like Ursula Andress or wherever it was from that Bond movie. Morning, Monday Kitten's trying to stick his face in my teeth, thank you for that. There was a very old naked man who emerged from the sea while we were walking along the beach. God knows how he didn't get hypothermia. It was very, very shriveled. It was awful. But let me take you back in time, dear diarist. Well, not dear diarist. Dearestest of all the diaries. My dearestest diary is the one from 1987 when that girl kissed me full on the mouth at that boy's birthday party. Just going to have a sip of tea. Excuse me, talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Buzzing, mate. I digress. This morning, Tony came round and Mum packed a picnic of one ham sandwich each. And I'm on a diet. I was going to ask if she'd put any beef dripping in the sandwich, but I thought best not to. Anyway, we got a bus to where we could get onto the part of the beach that we needed to get onto. And as we were getting off the bus, the driver gave us a nod and a wink. I don't know why, or I didn't at the time anyway. At this point, I didn't even know there was a nudist beach there. So we got on the beach and walked along for about 10 minutes when I started to snack on Tony's sandwich. Don't think he saw me. Then as we walked, I saw this thing bobbing about in the sea. I thought it was a seal, so I pointed it out. I was like all excited, going, "Oh wow, Tony, look at that, that's amazing!" But it was a nude old man, and he came out of the sea and started jogging towards us, you know, all its parts flapping and slapping about the place. He ran over to us and asked us if we wanted to join him. He said it was invigorating and refreshing. I told him if I wanted to be invigorated and refreshed, then I'd chew an opal fruit, thank you very much, sir. And he gave a dismissive tutty noise, and he flapped and slapped his way back to the beach. To the sea, sorry. Tony was just like,
"Oh, can't believe you wanted to point that out to me, pal. I'm surprised you were looking."
And I was all like, "No, I didn't. I thought it was a seal, Tony. I thought it was a seal. Stop it. Didn't know there was nude. I didn't realise a genital would come towards us." Anyway, me and Tony kept on walking, my eyes darting hither and thither for any naked ladies, be they 25 or 85. This chunky boy didn't care. I just wanted to see all the naked body parts of a full nude woman. I did not. In due course, we came to where the caves were that we were going to. I could hear gentle chanting coming from inside one. I thought, "Hey up. Oh, that's fancy." I checked my watch to make sure we had enough time to get back to the beach before the tide came in. Because, you know, you've got to respect the sea. You have to. It's a harsh mistress. You know, when she gets angry, that's when she throws a tsunami at you. Ugh, probably the most terrifying natural disaster I can imagine. Except a mega tsunami with two sharks in it coming at you. With a tornado riding on a surfboard. Oof, harrowing. Anyway, we went in the cave and followed it for about 5 minutes. Tony kept slipping on the wet rocks because he was wearing his cowboy boots, like he always does, because he's a ponce. He got quite angry when he scuffed them, and I pointed out that his choice of footwear is impractical. And he said,
"Style is never impractical, Paul."
And then he slipped over again and his top hat fell off into a puddle. And so I just gave him a look as if to say,
"It is."
But he wasn't looking at me. Eventually we came up to an opening in the cave where a group of robed figures were stood around a big fire and they were all chanting. I couldn't believe it was actually real. This quest wasn't just something Tony came up with to make me go on a long walk on a beach. Tony sort of pushed me to go near them. I got scared and tried to back away, but he held my arm and was quite forceful. I coughed so that they all would know that I was there, but they didn't seem to move. There were 5 monks in all. All wearing brown robes and just hoods. Very intimidating. I walked over to them and tapped one on the arm. He turned round and looked at me.
"Ah, you're here for the horn, I presume?"
he said.
"Yes, sir,"
I replied.
"What offering bring you?"
he said in quite a snooty tone, if you ask me. So I got out my NatWest pig and showed it to him. And he said,
"Now we already have a Sir Nathan Nathaniel Westminster, sorry for messed it up. Can I take a second take on that one, Cecil?"
"Don't talk to Cecil. Cecil's just monitoring the levels. If you want to do a second take, you talk to me," said Jeremy. Alright, can I know if I can take?
I can do, but I'm not editing it out. Told you. Recording this is live, Sir Jeremy. So every time you go for a second, ask to go for a second take, you bugger yourself up.
Okay, second take then in 3, 2, 1.
I got out my NatWest China pig and showed it to him. And he said,
"No, we already have a Sir Nathaniel Westminster, the father, of course. And we have a Lady Hillary, the mother, and Maxwell, the boy, Annabelle, the girl, and Woody, the baby. If you had Cousin Wesley, the pig, then we would trade it and discuss what you possibly want. What other offerings bring you to the monks?"
I showed them the crust from the sandwiches that I'd eaten and the Tupperware that the sandwiches came into. I thought they might want it because it's a very damp environment that they live in. How were they going to keep the room crisp? Didn't know, but they weren't bothered. Then I said I had a fiver, and they seemed quite keen on that. So we exchanged the £5 for what looked like a manky old sheep horn. I asked them what I'd do with it, but they all started chanting something about Brexit or something, I think, and ignoring me completely. On the way out, I nicked the Sir Nathaniel Westminster, the father pig, of the NatWest pigs that were all on a display shelf near the entrance. I don't think they saw me. As we were making our way out and Tony kept slipping, he noticed that the floor was considerably more damp than it had been, because the sea were coming in. We moved as fast as we could, but that pesky sea had crept up on us in a sexy, salty way. In the end, we had to paddle up to our thighs in freezing cold October North Sea water. It certainly wasn't refreshing or invigorating, and my penis had shrunk right into my body. And on the way back on the nudist beach, we passed two other naked old men. Oh, one of them was in a state of priapic arousal.
12th of October.
Tony rang up today saying he wanted to spend some time with his wife. She's just bloody typical of him. He's so selfish. So I cleared some space on the mantelpiece for the newest piggy bank in my NatWest collection. Sir Nathaniel Westminster was the one pig that we didn't actually have. Or rather, we did have it, but in 1994, Dad knocked it off the shelf for me and him. We were using one of his toupees as a hairy indoor frisbee. We thought it'd be safe because it was soft and, you know, couldn't be thrown hard enough to break anything. What we didn't think about was the fact that Dad has always been useless at catching slash throwing things. So when he threw the toupee at me and it went off at a strange angle, I jumped at it to catch it, but I tripped over the sheepskin rug we had at the time, and I went face first into the mantelpiece and to the fireplace. When I hit it, the mantelpiece came off the wall, and Sir Nathaniel Westminster flew through the air. Pigs can fly. Then he hit the back wall and smashed into a million piggy pieces. I also broke two teeth. Anyway, Mum never forgave me, but maybe now she will. I've got a new Nathaniel Westminster. Sir Nathaniel Westminster, sorry. I need... Monday kittens bums just right by my head. Oh, hope you don't, Trump. Anyway, Sir Nathaniel Westminster did look smashing up there on the mantelpiece. Pun fully intended. Oh, he's so proud and businesslike. I do love a business pig. Which is probably why I'm such a great... Monday Monday kittens just give me right queer looks. I was going to say, which is why I'm such a great big fan of Donald Trump, because he looks like a pig, doesn't he? But I'll probably get shot by a SAS or something. Never mind. 13th of October. I told Mum about my diet slash quest, and I've lost my place now. I told Mum about the diet slash quest Tony had me on. She was not happy. She said it was utterly ridiculous and I should stop looking for quick fixes. I tried changing the subject to me getting a new rucksack, but she was having none of it. She's... She, oh.
I'm going to burp in a minute. That's imminent. She's still hiding all the food, though there was a jar of honey left on the top, on the worktop this morning, so I've pilfered it, and I keep dipping my finger in now and again, though I am rationing in a minute, because, you know, it's got to last me. Mum's going to find out about where it's gone soon. She's going to hit me. No doubt about that. There's going to be a slapping and a clapping around the back of my head anytime soon, but it's delicious honey matter, isn't it? And I think as honey comes from bees, which are an animal, does that make it meat? I don't know. Later today, Tony said he would come round tomorrow and make arrangements to collect the next part of the quest, the Bile of Bernamentos. And the way he was acting, it was like it would take like a 2-day jaunt somewhere. The only hint he gave me was that it would be a 3-man operation and we would need a tent. It's all very exciting, isn't it? The 14th of October. I'm cold, I'm damp, covered in blood, scared, and might be about to be eaten alive. So if this diary entry trails off into a self-pitying cries of agony, then you know why. But why, I hear you question me. Well, this morning at about 10 a.m, Tony came round and dragged me out of bed. Not literally, he's not that up strong. I was going to say he doesn't have that much upper body strength. He's very weak in the arms, very weak. He says he's not masturbated in 8 years, and I can believe it. After I had had breakfast and then 11sies, he explained to me the next part of the quest. We were to collect a vial of the bile from Bernamentos. Tony didn't explain what Bernamentos actually was. Had I known, I would never have agreed to it. Tony asked me to go get Teddy Watkins from my bed, as we needed a third man for the expedition. Oh, I'm itchy. I'm always happy to bring Teddy Watkins along for a trip. He's like my little alien friend, like E.T., except he can't move, talk or walk or do anything. He's just a stuffed teddy. His wife I did not bring. She's still just sat on my mantelpiece, looking at me all the time, always peeping at me. Tony loaded up his wife's car with camping equipment, and Mum and Dad came and waved me off, and we made our way to the Northern Yorkshire Moors. By 3 p.m. we had made camp in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I couldn't even see a toilet. Just wild heather moors. Luckily it was quite warm today. Also, I didn't need a poo-poo. I still had my pyjamas on under my clothes, because, you know, I thought that's what sometimes butch men wear in the Arctic, isn't it? I'd pretend to be an explorer or something. Once the tent and the fire was set up, Tony then proceeded to set up a stool in the moors and some lighting equipment around it, about 20 metres away from our tent and camp encampment. He came back to the tent and said to have a look at Teddy Watkins. I thought, oh, all right then, be careful though. Tentatively, I gave him to Tony, who then just quickly pulled out a Swiss Army knife and deftly cut open Teddy Watkins along the seam of the tummy. So, not for the first time this year, I punched Tony full in the face as hard as I could. The bald prick went flying back. His Swiss Army knife flew up into the air, and I, like a superhero, snatched Teddy Watkins from Tony's stupid hands. Then I heard a... and I looked over at Tony. The knife had landed right through his forearm, which was surprising given how skinny they are. The knife was going in one side, coming out the other. It had missed the bone completely and any important veins. Tony just sat there, shocked, gawping at his stupid arm, and then blood started to slowly drip out of it. I was a bit sick in my throat, and Tony just sort of was just staring, but he kept surprisingly calm. He told me to take off his bandana that he was wearing, utter prick. And then while I pulled out the knife, he tightly He tightly wrapped it round his wound. Jesus Christ. That's throwing me for a sixpence, that has, Maundy Mundy kitten. He told me to take off his bandana, and while he pulled out the knife, I had to tightly wrap it around his wound. Oof. I thought you were never meant to remove a knife if you've been stabbed. But if anyone knows how to treat a knife wound, it's Tony. You know, given that it's been stabbed 11 times, well, 12 times now. But that's the price you pay if you've got the kind of past that Tony's had. Oof. Horrific. Tony's wife was due to pick us up at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, so we just had to wait it out. We were miles from nowhere. Tony'd lost a bit of wood, blood and some wood, mostly on my trousers, but he said it was nothing and he just carried on like nothing had happened. He can be quite butch sometimes, like an ugly Ray Mears, which is saying something. He said he needed to insert this stone thingy into Teddy Watkins' tummy to lure the creature of Ben Mentos out. I pointed out that he probably should have just explained that to me before he started hacking away at poor Teddy Watkins' tum-tum. At least Tony had the decency to sew him back up before he stuck him on a stool in the middle of the nowhere. Apparently, right, we needed to place old Teddy Watkins on a stool in the moors with this stone thing in its tummy so that the creature, which produces all this bile that we need to collect, will be attracted to the stone and then spray its bile upon Teddy Watkins. It's weird, isn't it? Finding this out, I tried to go rescue Teddy Watkins, but Tony said I better not leave the safety of the tent and the fire because the creature might attack me. I thought Tony was making it all up just to scare me, so that I might get diarrhea for 4 hours and thus lose weight. It's tentative, but it might be the reason. But didn't happen. My bowels remained stoic. By 9 p.m. we were both in the tent watching the TV monitor Tony had set up early. Don't know where he gets this stuff from. Seems odd to me. Anyway, it had infrared lighting on and we could see through the monitor and a camera that poor Teddy Watkins was just sat on the stool. He was looking so very, very brave. I wept a little bit. We watched it for hours, but nothing happened. And I think I got bored and fell asleep. An hour ago, Tony woke me up. It was pitch black, apart from the glare from the monitor. And Teddy Watkins had vanished. I tried to sit up, but Tony was pushing me down and whispering very quietly. He was saying, "No, for God's sake, don't move an inch and keep quiet." We lay there for a few minutes. I realised that something was crawling all over the tent. To me, it seemed like a million slugs were just encasing the tent. I could hear a thousand different squelches and writhing tendrils squelching and squelching and squelching around the place. This happened for about 10 minutes. I was going to burp, but it didn't come out. Sorry. This carried on for about 10 minutes, and then it passed, and it started to get lighter. And within a few seconds, whatever it was had buggered right off. I'm just writing this diary now. Tony's gone outside to check the situation. Like I say, I've stayed in the tent to write this. In actual reality, I'm just far too scared to go out there. Actually, I better go out now and go get Teddy Watkins. I'm going to be brave for you. If I die, Eugene, I can't stand the sight and smell of you. You ugly brummy twat.
Tune in next week to hear the exciting conclusion of that bit of the diary. Bye-bye, listeners!
What are you doing, Cecil?